I just recorded a Not Safe for Work F4F audio in which I analyzed a student's essay and subsequently gave her a fun time. And the essay that I included in the audio is real. And although I was unable to delete all the personal information from the document, because this is one of the essays that I wrote in, I believe it was my last semester in college. Yes, it's from November 2019. And because I was a writing major, I have a lot of essays under my belt. So if you're interested in more content like this, please let me know. And so, fuck it. How Porn Succeeds Where Sex Education Fails. Introduction. Anna McKee stated in Youth, Pornography, and Education that children are quite aware that parents want them to be ignorant about sex. They consciously demonstrate the ignorance for them. McKee, 2007, page 27. As students progress through their schooling, sex education becomes a prominent but difficult subject. This is not only due to the fact that children are pressured to pretend that they do not know about adult content, but also because sex education in public schools does not hold up to the standards as it should. Furthermore, some students do not receive any educational material regarding sex at all. For some, their first encounter with the opposite sex is found through the discovery of online pornography. While the rise of new media adult content has become more accessible, despite common beliefs, online pornography has evolved into an indirect form of sex education because of what it teaches viewers about the human body, sexual identities, interests, and activities. History of Online Pornography. Valerie J. Huber and Michael W. Furman have expressed that little is known about sex education before the 20th century. In their scholarly article, A History of Sex Education in the United States Since 1900, Huber and Furman note that, traditionally, conversations regarding sex were influenced by religious beliefs and societal norms. Sex education, if any, took place in the home. Huber and Furman, 2014. While the topic of sex was considered taboo, Huber and Furman suggest that the social hygiene movement, which took place in the United States in 1905, brought attention to the hygienic problems of sex, including the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. Huber and Furman, 2014. Within time, sex education made its way into public schools during the Progressive Era and have since educated students on human reproductive anatomy and options for birth control. However, sex education was still modified and constricted under the cultural norms of the time. Susan K. Freeman takes note of the biases that took place in public schools in the 20th century regarding sexual activity in Sex Goes to School, Girls and Sex Education Before the 1960s. Freeman writes, "Because people often think of sex as intercourse, they have tended to overlook other sexual experiences or assume that ultimate sexual gratification equals vaginal intercourse and male ejaculation and orgasm." Freeman, 2008, page 135. This brings great insight as to how sex education was presented. It suggests that the majority of sex education throughout history centered around the male and gave little acknowledgement of the biology and pleasure of the female. In the latter half of the 20th century, sex education began to evolve even further as issues regarding teenage pregnancy and sexual violence became apparent. However, even as the subjects discussed in sex education seemed to expand, they were still far from actual improvement. Marianne H. Whatley takes note of this in her article titled Goals for Sex-Equitable Sexuality Education in Sex Equity and Sexuality in Education. Whatley argues that sex education became a tool to combat sexual violence and teenage pregnancy, yet the methods that were offered were preventative rather than problem solvers. Female students were expected to prevent sexual violence, and these themes continue to be prominent today. Whatley states, to some extent, sex education has moved away from discussions of how women should dress and act to avoid arousing men. But no woman should need a black belt in karate to feel safe on campus, a view that is often not reflected in education. Whatley, 1992, page 90. As Whatley emphasizes, sex education fails to address the reality that surrounds these topics. Placing responsibility and blame on the victim has brought no progress to successful sex education. Luckily, these forms of misinformation would slowly cease to continue as the arrival of new technologies brought new opportunities for sexual research and resources. In addition, the rise of the internet has introduced new sources for content designed for adults. Through online pornography, viewers may be able to learn more about themselves and others. Perceptions of the body. One of the most educational elements that arise from online pornography is how viewers are able to learn more about the human body. All throughout pornography, specifically those involving sexual intercourse, the performers are either naked or barely dressed. Therefore, viewers can extract more information from pornography compared to what is shown in educational settings. Sex education offers examples of genitalia through drawings, but they are not designed to be visually graphic. In addition, these visuals were created to focus on the reproductive purposes rather than pleasure. Freeman takes note of the complications that arise in presenting these materials by stating, "As much as teacher included unexpected material in their lesson plans, they did not fully demystify the physical body, and much of what girls learned perpetuated sexist and heterosexist norms. That was especially the case when teachers conveyed outmoded ideas about women's physical capacity or grooming standards, or when material focused on the fetus to the exclusion of the pregnant mother." Freeman, 2008, page 144. Societal norms continue to influence how sex education presents information regarding the human body. Regardless of the fact that women are considered to be childbearers, both male and female students do not receive enough information surrounding their own bodies. As a result of misleading representations, students are practically oblivious to the capacities and appearances of specific body parts. Institutions are faced with the challenge of teaching students sex education without being too literal or revealing. As a result, students find ways to learn on their own, whether accidental or not. A study, which is summarized by McGee, found that some interviewees referred to porn as educational. Young men, in particular, confessed to having used pornography to learn about sex. McGee, 2007. One interviewee even suggested that online pornography is a sort of tool for sex education, stating, "It's an education. Sometimes it's the only sexual education people get." McGee, 2007, page 2. The realistic graphics and activities that take place in pornography offer more concrete information for viewers. Although sex education attempts to address these subjects effectively, online pornography seems to inform its viewers of the biological findings that many schools are not willing to distribute. Exploration and acceptance of sexual identities. Within the recent decades, those in the LGBTQA+ community are slowly being represented more in mainstream media. Surprisingly, through online pornography, those who identify as the minority in terms of sexuality have been represented for much longer. Exposure to pornography gives rise to the concept of self-exploration, meaning viewers are able to discover sexual identities that are separate from the norm. As Doering suggests, the sexual subcultures found on the internet give quite a range for those in the LGBTQA+ community, as well as those who practice forms of fetishism. However, public education fails to acknowledge different sexual orientations. The majority of sex education focuses on the heterosexual aspects of sex, leaving those that identify otherwise unaware of the safe sex practices catered specifically for same-sex intercourse. This complication is highlighted by Cindy Patton, who participated in a project in the 1980s and the 1990s to analyze the safe sex practices of gay and bisexual couples in pornography. She shares her findings in Safe Sex and the Pornographic Vernacular from How Do I Look? Queen Film and Video. After questioning what qualifies as safe sex between same-sex couples, Patton concluded that the concern to produce responsible sexual fantasy material was clear to most gay male porn video porn by 1989. but the approaches were contradictory and rested on widely divergent views of the role of fantasy and meditation in sexuality. As analysts of sexual representations, we too have dramatically different ways of interrogating the possibility zone requirements of teaching safe sex. Patton, 1991, page 32. Considering the time period is crucial for this issue. The rise of AIDS placed a heavy burden on those who identified as homosexual. This was especially true during the peak of the AIDS epidemic between 1985 and 1986. While homosexuals were further suppressed, sex education failed to acknowledge same-sex couples and practices. Patton, 1991. Up until then, there was little acknowledgement of the safe sex practices between same-sex couples. As a result, online pornography became a new source for homosexuals as it showed sexual activity that was not expressed in mainstream media or school. While cultural sensitivity may be to blame, the lack of knowledge regarding the LGBTQA+ community might have also been risen by the clash between science and identity. Although one's reproductive biology determines a person's sex, the same cannot be said for one's sexual orientation. The heavy social stigma and the pressure to conform has slowed the progress of sexual discovery. To this day, students struggle to establish their identity. For some, acceptance can be found through porn. Mary Dilge argues in Our Worlds in Our Words, exploring race, class, gender, and sexual orientation in multicultural classrooms, that incorporating sexual orientations into sex education can lead the way to building more acceptance through the world. Dilge, 2010. While students may be able to personally identify with those that participate in LGBTQ+ pornography, sex education continues to fail to accommodate all students. In a sense, online pornography could be used as a source for exploration as viewers can expand their knowledge on a subject that many schools fail to address. Lights, camera, consent. As much as it tries, sex education fails to incorporate every aspect of sexual intercourse to students. In other words, students may be left with an unclear understanding of sexual activities. In some cases, viewers rely on online pornography for details that are not clearly presented to them in public school or the discussions with their parents. The reasons why an online user may want to dive into the world of online pornography voluntarily is summarized by Doring, stating, "The main reasons provided for the voluntary use of pornography are curiosity, sexual stimulation, masturbation, and enhancement of sex life with partners." Doring, 2009, page 1092. In theory, because pornography shows sexual activity in action, students get a better understanding of the actual procedure than what is described in school. In addition, those who view online pornography are able to explore their sexual interests, learn how to masturbate, and acquire general safe sex practices. Doring emphasizes this by stating, "The internet provides users with an opportunity to satisfy their sexual needs in constructive ways, to experience sexual satisfaction through masturbation, to improve sexual communication in a relationship, to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases through safe sex knowledge, to anonymously discuss shameful sexual wishes with others, etc." Doring, 2009, page 1091. Although a great majority of online pornography is staged, there are instances in which viewers can learn how to have better sex. For instance, media that includes segments of foreplay shows viewers how to officially warm up, whether by making out or applying lubricant. During the main event, viewers can observe how sex is accomplished and gain an understanding of how everyone is different. In addition, they are able to learn how to practice their own forms of fetishism and kinks with safety in mind, such as using toys or condoms. Porn stars play a significant role in the viewer's perception of communication during sexual intercourse. Safe words, dirty talk, and genuine conversations show how crucial communication is during sex. Furthermore, online pornography that shows the aftercare procedures offers more insight for the viewers. cuddling after sex, and keeping the communication going are just some of the practices that are resembled through online pornography. While pornography offers these benefits, this form of media continues to be considered as taboo, offensive, or unacceptable. The reason behind this lies greatly behind one's own upbringing. A study conducted by Paul J. Wright found an adult's exposure to pornography to research the socializing effects of pornography in sex education, public opinion, and pornography, a condition process analysis. Through personal interview surveys, Wright examined the social beliefs and behaviors of U.S. adults aged 18 and older. He discovered that one's religious upbringing and educational experience had direct correlation to one's support for sex education and acceptance of teenage sex. Wright, 2018. The study hoped to increase public discussion regarding sexual media, as more people should be informed of sexual practices rather than receive polarized views of it. While there are multiple benefits to watching online pornography, it is not meant to be the only source for people to gain information about sex. At the same time, sex education can only teach so much in educational settings or at home, where students are encouraged to be innocent and naive. McKee reiterates in Does Pornography Harm Young People? That children are not damaged from accidental exposure to pornography before puberty, or from consensual seeking out of such material after puberty. However, it is also clear that pornography must not be the only source of information about sexuality for young people. McKee, 2010, page 34. Sex education in public schools is necessary because it may be the only form of sex education that a student may receive. That being said, how the subject is addressed makes all the difference. Parents and educators need to understand and accept the fact that students may be naturally curious about sex. Online pornography is not the only source of sex education that people should rely on, but it has its own advantages over what is offered in public schools. This is especially the case since students are not given all the necessary information about sex because they are expected to derail themselves from what is considered as adult content. Online pornography suggests that being interested in sex is normal, a concept which is not often expressed to students. Conclusion. Viewers are able to learn more about their bodies, their identities, and sexual activities in online pornography rather than what is presented in public school. Although students may learn more about sex through pornography rather than school, it is clear that adult content has made a significant presence throughout multiple forms of media. Exposure to online pornography is not particularly harmful. Rather, it becomes a somewhat reliable source to the visual and pleasurable aspects of the human body. Different genres of pornography have shown to represent a variety of sexual orientations and have allowed viewers to explore different interests. As a result, users find acceptance in their identities as well as their fetishes. In addition, while online pornography tends to be informal, it is still a form of media that is able to indirectly educate users on safety during sex. Sex education has its own methods of educating students of what is perceived as not safe for work. Online pornography, however, tends to succeed where public education fails. Now, I have a works cited page, but I don't know if I'll be able to upload it here, but you're just going to have to believe me that all the citations are correct. And with that, thank you so much for listening in. And I hope you learned something, and I hope I didn't bore you to death. All right, have a lovely day, and good luck on your finals, if you're in school. And if you're not, then be happy that you don't have to deal with that anymore.